plants and the green grass and the fields. It's just the ordinary colour that sustained us throughout that period. And Sam and I were in the vestry before the service and we said we must make sure they've got a red one for next week. And Joni came in really excited because she thought we were talking about handbags. And the joy of being able to get a red handbag was far too much. She said last week at Putnow that the reason I was late for the service was because I didn't want to get my Land Rover wet because it was raining. So any chance I get from now on to have a go, I'll get her back. We're thinking about joy this morning, and Jesus has this wonderful phrase in our reading, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Are Christians more or less joyful than everybody else? Are Christians more or less joyful than everybody else? I'm guessing that if you went up to most people in the street and said, are Christians joyful people? They'd probably say, no. They'd probably say, well, some might think that they were worthy people, that they were serious people. But our package as a Christian faith is often regarded as a whole load of don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. Teaching people what they shouldn't enjoy. And Christians are regarded perhaps as killjoys. And we all know the jokes, I'm not going to tell any, but we all know the jokes about heaven and hell, and you know, which is going to have the more fun in it, heaven or hell. And the idea being that all the people who like enjoying themselves are going to be in hell, and why would you want to go to heaven? Well, the good news is that Christians are supposed to be joyful people. Christianity is supposed to be a faith which makes you feel good about yourself and others. And so the sermon today is about being joyful. I was telling somebody, someone said to me yesterday, what's the sermon about tomorrow? I said, well, I'm thinking about joyfulness and how Christians should be full of joy. And they said, oh, you're going to tell us how we've all got to be happy and we're all going to go away feeling miserable and guilty because we're not. That's not the idea. It's not meant to be... Well, I was thinking of Pollyanna. You've probably all heard of Pollyanna and the Pollyanna principle. Pollyanna, a 1913 novel by Eleanor Porter. A kind of a classic now, I think, in children's literature. And Pollyanna goes around, she's adopted by her wealthy aunt, and she goes around the town kind of cheering everybody up and bringing gladness by encouraging people to be optimistic. I mentioned this to Corinne, and she says, oh, yes, that's absolutely right. The Pollyanna principle, that if you've got something horrible on a Monday, then look at it positively. It's a whole week before it comes back again. That isn't the Christian understanding of what being joyful is all about. We're not just trying to be optimistic. And I'm not going to be like Pollyanna, telling you you've got to be happy and cheerful. There's an old French fable. And it kind of begins to illustrate what joy, what Christian joy, is all about. There was once a cobbler, and he was a happy and a contented man. And people who passed his shop laughed and waved when they saw him singing and enjoying things while he was fixing his shoes. And many people stopped in his shop just to bask in the warmth of his smile. One of the people in the town who saw the cobbler was a banker, and he smiled very little. And was not a cheerful person and sang very little at all. And he seldom slept well. At first he was irritated by the cobbler's happy disposition. But as the days passed, he was attracted by the man. And finally he decided to visit the cobbler and discover the secret of his happiness. After the two men chatted for a while, the banker inquired, "So, cobbler, what is the secret of your happiness?" And the cobbler said that it was no secret, really. He said he wasn't always so joyful. He said his attitude changed when he woke up one day and began to count his blessings. He recognised that he was blessed with a wonderful family, had a roof over his head, and a trade to make a living. And he decided then and there to always be happy and be thankful for the blessings that God had given to him. And the banker was so overwhelmed by this simple yet profound philosophy that he wanted to reward the cobbler for his kindness. And he said to the cobbler, "Do you make much money?" And the cobbler said, "No. Many times people don't buy shoes, so most of my income comes just from shoe repairs. And I also close my shop on feast days in honour of the saints, and I go to church on Sundays. However, my family doesn't go without much. But the banker reached into his pocket and he pulled out 300 gold coins. And he offered them to the cobbler. And he said, take this as a sign of my gratitude and use the money as you need it. Overjoyed, the cobbler thought that this newly acquired fortune was marvellous. Life could be even better than it was before. So he quickly went home and he buried the gold in his backyard. The succeeding days brought many changes. He often left the shop in the middle of the day to go home to make sure that nobody had dug up and stolen his fortune. And he began to lose sleep at night, obsessing that somebody might break in and try to steal his money. Old friends noticed that he was not as cheerful as he was before. He didn't sing like he used to. They also noticed that he often looked suspicious when someone stopped in the shop just to chat. Finally, the cobbler dug up his fortune, took the treasure back to the banker, and said, thank you for your gift, but I cannot afford to be the owner of these gold coins. Take your money back so that I may enjoy music, sleep, and my friends again. It seems that when I buried my money, I buried my joy at the same time. The end. I like the story because it tells that joy comes when we get our priorities right. And like so many things, we need to be reminded from time to time what Christian joy is all about. It's not hedonism seeking pleasure for pleasure's sake. The paradox of that is that the more we seek pleasure, the less we find it. Joy is not something to be pursued. You cannot make yourself happy. Somebody once said that joy is happiness with a much longer shelf life. But joy is even more than that. Joy is a characteristic of the Christian. And the word joy is all over the Bible. But joy is never presented as a goal in itself in the Bible. Joy is a fruit. It's not something to be pursued. It's rather a consequence of the Christian life and getting things into perspective so that joy sustains us. It's been said that there's no such thing as a sad saint. Well, that's probably an oversimplification, but the message which it's trying to convey is this. We have a joy through our faith. Joy that we can trust in Christ. Joy that we have a reassurance and a confidence about the future. And therefore there's a well-being which we can't get at the gym. Joy is not about trying to be happy. It's that deep sense of well-being from trust and resting in God and getting life into perspective. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So joy isn't about how wide our grin is. Joy is about knowing that the worst anyone can do is to kill us. As you read through the pages of the New Testament and you read the early Christians, you see them talking about the kinds of lives that they lead, and they're shipwrecked and they're tortured and they're pursued and they're involved in riots and they have sleepless nights. And they say, yet we always rejoice because having nothing, we possess everything. And that's a theme running throughout Scripture. Mother Teresa, a woman perhaps who embodied the Christian faith so well, spoke these words to Malcolm Muggeridge, who was converted to the Christian faith by the authenticity of her witness. She said, a joyful heart is the normal result of a heart burning with love. Never let anything so fill you with sorrow as you forget the joy of the Christ risen. Amen. Did you notice that I sent the baby to sleep?